Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so you can look for something hopefully popping up there sometime tomorrow. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and the man is at?
Dan, the man with three A's.
All right, Dan. Well, I guess this could kind of be your area more than mine, because I'm really as unpolitical as it could get. To me, they're all crooks, and I don't care who wins what office and, you know, that kind of stuff, because no matter who gets in, they're going to screw me over. But I was curious with this, Dan. You know, last night, Clemson, who won the college national title, they went to the White House, you know, for dinner or however you want to look at it, and Donald Trump served them fast food. He had, you know, McDonald's, Burger King, Arby's, all, you know, that kind of stuff there. And what I'm kind of baffled with, Dan, is everybody just ripping him for this because they, you know, they don't like him? Because I've heard a lot of sports reporters just complain and right and left about this, like this is a big deal, but pretty much this is what every college kid eats. So I kind of thought it was humorous, but I guess maybe I'm the only one in this department. What did I miss?
Well, apparently they're afraid of the fact that the entire White House staff is on furlough. There's no one to cook anything. And that he paid for it all of his pocket.
So, yeah, I mean, I was just baffled with, I mean, because a lot, you know, some of these were just, I mean, I guess you could almost describe it as unadulterated hatred, you know, the way they reacted to this. And I'm like, I don't know, I thought it was kind of humorous, a bunch of college kids, fast food. I mean, that's kind of what we associate with college kids anyway. You know, I mean, I get it. You know, Clemson actually has a registered dietitian chef make the meal football team. So, yeah, somebody can explain that one to me later. But, yeah, I don't know whatever the hell it was. But, you know, is it really worth the trouble? I mean, who the hell cares what an announcer on the Mickey Mouse Network thinks of Donald Trump anyways? You know, it's like when an actor comes out and says, well, you know, this is my I don't care what your political belief is. Go, you know, go make a movie. So, you know, or is it just
I mean,
me?
Pretty much. No, I mean, pretty much. You didn't go over to watch that for their political opinion.
Right. Oh. But, yeah, I just found it so weird that, you know, all these people, oh, well, you know, look, he, oh, he, you know, I can't believe he did this. Why? I guess the other odd thing is nobody else really mentioned what he should have served them. You know, I mean, do you think these kids wanted to go for a formal sit-down dinner, or do you think they probably got a kick out of this?
Well, I mean, I see one picture with one player with like three Big Macs in his hand and something else and this huge smile on his face. So.
Yeah, and oddly, I mean, I didn't see an interview with any of the players or anybody from Clemson. You know, this was just stuff they decided to come out with on their own and, you know, just talk or decide they knew what was best for, you know, these kids and how they should have been treated. So, yeah, I don't get it. I just thought it was really, really kind of stupid. And I was like, give me a break, you know? So, but yeah, I was just baffled. I was like, here you go. You're going to ruin my sports day with politics. What I need. It's like, you guys can't find another way to ruin it. So,
well, you know, Machado and Harper didn't sign, so there's nothing big to talk
about. Yeah, you know. Yeah, well, you know, it's like when I'm watching, you know, the Roku TV and, you know, Pluto always runs commercials for that stupid Colin Cowherd program, and even just watching the 30-second or minute-long commercial just makes me want to fuck my face. So, I do find it interesting that they always play the clip saying the Browns are going to take Baker Mayfield first. I wouldn't. So I am happy that I get to see that and it blew up in his face. So I guess that's one positive. But yeah, other than that, I'm just kind of like, oh yeah, great. Whoopee. Oh, so now, you know, I got to ask you, I know we were talking a little beforehand, but, you know, the Bulls at the Lakers tonight, 9:30 on NBA TV, you staying up to watch it?
No.
I did find it weird that, you know, Golden State is at Denver tonight. They're the top two teams in the West. But they're not on. They went with the Lakers and the Bulls. I guess maybe they were expecting LeBron to play, so they went with that game.
Most likely.
Oh, so yeah, he's out at least this game. I'm not sure how much longer. You know, it will be before he comes back. But I know a little surprising. Like when he went out. You know, it looked like the Lakers had a relatively easy schedule. They were at a pretty decent point, but yeah, I can't figure out how the heck they managed to lose to the Cavaliers. You know, they're the worst team in basketball. But I guess after this Bulls game, their schedule gets a lot tougher. Are we going to see them sink to the point where even LeBron can't save them when he gets back, or would the NBA actually allow that?
Oh, wait, he's hurt?
Yeah.
I didn't even know he was hurt, so that's amazing to me.
Yeah, he's been out for, I don't remember, it's been a few weeks now, so... but yeah, you know, they fell to 20. They're 23-21 now. They've actually lost 5 out of their last 7 on a 2-game losing streak. You'd like to think the Bulls will rectify that tonight because the Bulls aren't very good. But like I said, they did lose to the Cavaliers. You know, once they're done with this Bulls team, and now I don't know when LeBron's coming back, but they go on the road against Oklahoma City and then Houston. They come home to host Golden State, Minnesota, and Phoenix. Not though Phoenix isn't very good. The other two are. Then they host Philadelphia. Technically, they're on the road against the Clippers, but, you know, we know that deal. And then they hit Golden State again. That, you know, that's how they start February. You know, boy, I don't know how much longer he's going to be out, but after tonight, and the exception of that Phoenix game, they'd be in some trouble, right? Do you think they they stumble out of the playoffs, or like I said, does the NBA kind of make sure they're close enough that when LeBron gets back, he gets in?
Well, you know, I have my tickets for March, so I hope he gets in by then. And
well, he should be back by then, so
that'll be right before the season ends. So they should be able to find a way back into the eighth seed by then.
Yeah, because technically right now they sit in a tie for 9. They're a half a game out of the 8th seed. But, yeah, you know, just kind of dependent on, you know, if they, you know, if they stumble through that schedule. Because, again, after tonight, that's not an easy schedule. You know, I mean, you know, Oklahoma City and Houston sit 3-4. You know, the Clippers are 6th. You know, I know the Suns are bad, so you got to figure maybe they'll win that game. They're the worst team in the Western Conference. But Minnesota actually has a winning record since the Jimmy Butler trade, and the removal of good old Thibodeau. Yeah, it's interesting to see how that's going to kind of shake out for them. But to me, I think it would be humorous if somehow LeBron didn't make the playoffs. How would you escalate, you know, look at it? I mean, to your opinion of it, would it be funny to you or just sad, or what are your feelings here?
I think it just proves that one person, again, doesn't make a playoff team in the NBA.
You know, and then they'll go out and sign Anthony Davis in the off season because he's with LeBron James' agency, and we'll talk about this all.
Yeah, I mean, it's, to be honest, it's so hard to keep up with since I didn't even know he was hurt.
Really? That's all they talk about. I don't know. So, but, you know, kind of, I don't know, I guess it's kind of NBA related because Jason Tatum's going to wear a pair. Have you by any chance seen these new Nikes that are coming out? I don't know when the official release date is, but I think Jason Tatum's going to wear them on Wednesday. Dan, these are self-lacing shoes. Apparently you download an app. Something to that effect. Have you seen these or heard of these or know anything about these?
No, it's the first time hearing of them.
Yeah, I think this is the name HyperAPT BB is what I believe they're called. So yeah, I don't know. I'm looking for some info here, but yeah, because it replaces traditional laces with an intricate series of cables controlled by slide touch bars on a syncing phone app or two toggle buttons on the side of the shoe. So now, Dan, does this mean if you have this and I hack your phone, I can tighten your shoes on you?
Pretty much.
So, yeah. Tatum's going to debut them tomorrow. The official launch is actually February 17th. So, yeah, I saw apparently the initial price they had at $720. I heard today that they were going to go for $350 a pair. When we get done today, are you going to go online and order yourself a pair?
No, I thought you'd be ordering for me.
No, not even. I don't know your size. Sorry. So I can't help. I can't help you there.
These will actually show up in your size on time, not like the ball shoes, right?
Well, you know, there are no guarantees. I would think, being that it's Nike, it's possible that, you know, this would you know, this would work out. But hey, you know, you never know. So we'll have to see how that goes. Speaking of that, and I don't even know if you run this highlight down now, but did you happen to catch the highlight last week where LeVar was at what's the youngest one that's somehow playing high school even though he played professionally? What's his name?
LaMelo.
No, I thought LaMelo was your guy.
That's the youngest one.
Oh, is he the youngest one? I thought LaMelo was the middle. Yeah, whatever it is, they had some video of, I don't know if there was a timeout or if they were coming out of halftime or what, but somehow LeVar was on the court and shot a three and didn't come close. I believe he shot about, I'm trying to remember if it was five or six air balls. It may have even been more before he hit one, but then the crowd decided to cheer for him. So I thought that was kind of humorous because, yeah, he was – he looked horrible, you know, shooting the basketball, and I was kind of like, oh, good Lord, you know, quit while you're ahead. I guess at that point, he'd stay until he made one, and it took him quite a while, but he did finally hit one. So, just kind of, at least to me, it was kind of humorous. I don't know. You know, that's just how I am. So, and real quick, here's, you know, I mentioned the one game. Here's the rest of the NBA schedule tonight. You got the Suns at the Pacers. There is a doubleheader on NBA TV. The first game is the Timberwolves at the Sixers. So, Jimmy Butler gets to play his old team. The Thunder at the Hawks, Heat at the Bucks. I mentioned the Warriors at the Nuggets, and then the night wraps up with the Bulls at the Lakers. How do you think it goes with Jimmy against his old team there? You think he's out for a little revenge, or he has a vendetta? How do you think that goes for him?
Well, Tim ain't there. Does that make a difference?
Wait, who doesn't care?
I said, well, Tibbs ain't there. Doesn't that make a difference?
Well, yeah, but no, he got along with Tibbs, so you know, maybe he's carrying a grudge for him as well.
But, I mean, what could he possibly do?
Well, no, I mean, you know, just be angry at the score 60 or something like that, you know.
Well, I'm questioning it because, I mean, everyone's best friends in the NBA, so. How did that really work?
Well, yeah, but, you know, he came off as, you know, not liking, you know, Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. I guess apparently they weren't friends, which is weird in the NBA. So. So, yeah, I don't know. You don't see him going for, you know, like 50 or 60 tonight?
No, he's not that kind of player. I don't think he could just go off and do that. You know, DeRozan is still there, right?
Yeah, he's still playing. For as far as I know, I don't think they made any real big roster. Like I said, they've been playing better. You know, they actually have a winning record since they traded Butler. Still are under 500 for the year, but. You know, like I guess any improvement is improvement, right? I mean, that's about the way you got to look at it.
Yeah.
So, you know, just kind of how that goes. So, but yeah, I noticed something today, and I was a little disappointed that you hadn't mentioned anything because I actually didn't realize this. I guess I'll have to look closely on who my teams are playing. I'm just more interested in making sure my lineups are good to go and trying to work things out. But we had a hockey matchup last week. I didn't realize that. And sadly, it looks like you came out on the short end of the stick. What happened there?
You beat me.
I wish I could say I put a whooping on you, but I only beat you 8-7, and then we tied in two categories. But, you know, anytime my team wins, that's huge because I'm hanging 15, and I just get anything going because, you know, for I don't know how long my injured reserve was full. I'm finally down to I only have two guys left on injured reserve. I got three. I forgot. I have a goalie as well. So I'm getting close to almost being healthy. But yeah, it's been quite the struggle this year for my my hockey team. But were you in first place in your division, or you're like right near the? Yeah, you're in first place in your division. So you're rolling along.
I wouldn't say rolling along. The guy behind me is only 10 points behind, but, you know, you actually knocked me down to 7th place overall in the league.
It looks like
you didn't have enough goalies played last week, and so therefore your save percentage was better than mine. And then, you had 8 power play points, which is kind of big. In 1 week,
yeah.
And 24 power play minutes. So you kind of beat me there. And then, of course, you had a hell of a, you know, with your less amount of guys, you had a hell of a lot more face-off losses than I did. But, you know, your hits just kind of stopped mine, so.
Yeah, sadly, I have a my starting goalie is on IR, so I only have one. I have one starting goalie and a backup, so I'm not getting as many goalie stats as I normally would. But it's just kind of like, there's not a ton I can do about it. It kills me in wins because I'm just, you know, I'm not getting the wins, but I've got to wait for guy to get healthy. So, you know, sadly there weren't a lot of starting goalies out there because didn't one guy end up with like 4 or 5 or something in the draft?
I think that's a good girl.
And so, you know, it just kind of worked out. But yeah, for some reason, I don't know what it is, my team doesn't score goals. You know, the guys I thought I had that were going to score goals just don't score goals. And it's a rarity that I win win goals. And it's kind of like, oh man, what happened here? So I need my, freaking goal scorers to start scoring goals. Of course, it doesn't help that one of them's on IR, but, we'll see if I can kind of get it turned around. There's still plenty of time. So I gotta get rolling here and hope I can find a streak. I need a big win or something to kind of get myself a jump in the standings because I don't think I'm too far. Well, I'm a ways behind the leader in my division, but I'm not too far. I'm only 8 games behind the guy ahead of me, so I can make up that ground with a couple good weeks and. Who's the last playoff guy? Do I got a shot there? Yeah, actually, I'm not. I'm only 11 wins behind the last playoff guy, so still some time. Hopefully, I can go in. But yeah, I was just kind of so focused on, you know, making sure my lineup was good and I had everything else rolling along that I didn't realize we're playing each other until today when I looked at the finals. I was like, oh, I won. Oh, wait, I beat Dan. I was like, holy crap! So. But yeah, it's been a. Normally, I do pretty well in hockey, but it's been a rough year this year hockey wise. I don't know. I don't know why. I guess I didn't thought I did.
Well, to be honest, I don't even think I looked at who my opponent was for the last couple of weeks. I've just been making my starts and, you know, just trying to fill that out. I find it. hard to make trades. Not that I've even tried, but like I don't really know totally what I'm looking for. I don't know who or how to trade. And sorry, I kicked myself off because I almost missed my stop. So I was grabbing all my stuff and I dropped the call. That wouldn't have been fun. It would have been an even longer night.
Yeah, my problem is trading for scoring is going to be tough, you know, for a goal scorer because they're tough to come by at any level. So, and, you know, I don't know if it would make sense for me to mortgage what I have to go, like, get a goal scorer, but I don't know. I might have to look a lot to see if it makes sense. Make a trade for that.
You know, I think Ovechkin hasn't been scoring as much as usual because we tied for goals last week.
Ah.
So I don't know. It's tricky. You know, I guess it's just not tricky, but the fact that we're not super-duper hockey guys, you know, I think we both know more than the casual fan. And we know a lot more about some of the players, but still, you know, trying to figure out, well, I need this and I need that. And, you know, just because you lost 1 week on hits doesn't mean you should go out and drop a guy and pick up more hits.
Yeah, no, I'm okay with that. I do all right in that category. Just, you know, scoring for me has really been an issue this year, and I don't know, you know, I thought I made some good choices, but it just hasn't happened. I got guys I thought would score that are just having some down years, and, you know, I keep hoping, you know, we're going to get going or something's going to happen, and it's been rough, but, you know, like I said, I'm, you know, hoping here that, you know, things turn around and I get rolling. So,
hard. But it's a little bit more difficult too because I think since we started this league, even though we missed out last year, we still have. We do have 20 teams, correct?
Yes.
But I mean, those 20 teams, we have hockey guys. We don't have, you know, the first couple of years, you know, we had, I would say half, you know, half more fantasy guys and then half people who just signed up. Plus we were picking from our former guests of the show who all started their own podcast after, you know, we had them on ours. That's a whole nother topic. you know, who kind of got into it, you know, especially the draft. Like you always say, everyone loves the draft, but keeping up with the season. Not everyone loves to continue to do that. But, you know, I think we dwindled down and got rid of a lot of people who are just not into it. Unfortunately, that never seems to work with football. I don't know if you noticed it.
No, or baseball.
Yeah. You know, we get rid of guys and we find five guys just to fill those spots to do the same crap the next season. But, you know, it's been pretty interesting to keep with a core of guys who just enjoy hockey and, you know, you can't, well, you know, the other side that I know why we're getting more guys that are actually into it and actually know the game is because we're getting, you know, between you and I, we're getting less and less stupid trades. And what I mean by that is, you know, for me, having Ovechkin, I have yet to get a trade, you know, offering me three bench players for Ovechkin.
Yeah, you know, the only goofy trade I got was when that guy wanted to give me two goalies for the only goalie I had who was healthy at the time.
Yeah.
And one of the goalies he wanted to trade me was hurt. I was like, yeah, why am I going to, you know, it's like I get it, my team is scuffling, but I'm not going to make this deal. You know, that would be stupid. Why am I going
to
put myself
well,
in a bigger hole?
Soon.
Right, you know,
Well, I think one of the hard things, too, with the goalies this year is, maybe not so much this year, but as time goes, let's take Pittsburgh, for instance. They had two great goalies with Fleury and the guy who's still there. You remember who's still in Pittsburgh? Big Jack.
No, because I think he's hurt. So.
Yeah, there you go. But, I mean, I think, this happened with the Blackhawks, too. When you have two great goalies, and then all of a sudden, it's the hard cap. Someone's got to go. Or, in Pittsburgh's case, the expansion draft happened, and Fleury was drafted by the Kings, and all of a sudden your two great goalies turn into one, and now your really good ones hurt. Fortunately for me, knock on wood, Fleury's been just having a pretty phenomenal season.
Oh, let's see. Yeah, I think we were talking about Matt Murray there as the other Pittsburgh goaltender. So
yeah. But when I did my draft, when I was looking, even when we went to defensive guys, trying to look for defensive guys that also scored. Which with the rules of today's game, those defensive guys don't have to stay behind that line anymore. Or do they?
No, they're fine.
Yeah. So. I don't know if the rules change back again.
No, you never know. But yeah, I'm realizing the mistake I made now is I got one starting goalie and I should have gotten two. I got a guy who my second guy was a guy who split time as a starter. And I'm realizing that I should have gotten two, but honestly, I thought I could kind of make it with that because I know we only have you got to start one game, which I think is a pretty good deal for us. But I decided to kind of focus on I wanted scoring, and I thought I got scoring, and obviously I was wrong.
in seasons past, we did three goal starts a week. Which was it was rough, but it wasn't, and I know you were like, well, let's start all over again. Let's start with one and then just kind of work it from there. But it seemed like this year, like you said, I think it was actually Secret Squirrel who drafted like 4 to 6 goalies. So guys were just like hoarding goalies. I drafted Fleury and I drafted another guy and then I picked up one who just so happens to be playing pretty decent. He doesn't get a whole lot of starts, but, fortunately he's been getting in and getting wins. Last week I think he finished the game because he was 16 for 18. So, he saved 16. He missed two of them, but he got the win, which helped me take that goalie side for you, away from you, but your damn power play points.
Yeah, I struggle. I thought I would be okay. And even like my second goalie, I went with Brian Elliott and I was a little concerned that the Flyers weren't going to be very good. And, then he wasn't getting a ton of playing time. Then he got hurt. And, ever since then, it's just been a hodgepodge of me trying to figure out what to do. And like when he got hurt, they called up their number one prospect as a goalie, a player by the name of Carter Hart. So I went out right away to pick him up. As soon as I got home for that morning from work, I went out to pick him up, and sure enough, somebody beat me to him. So I was just kind of, you're SOL at that point. It's like, okay, well, great. This guy got the other starting goalie, and I'm just going to have to kind of forage around for a guy who's getting some playing time here or there and hope it works. But, those are the breaks in fantasy. So, I got to hope when Elliott comes back, or if Elliott comes back, because he's been out a while now, that he's going to get some time in net and, hopefully play well. But, I'm drawing a blank. I just looked at it. And I was looking at so many goalies. I forgot who my number one guy is. But he's been doing a decent job for me. But, I got one guy going against two in some cases. And, obviously it's tough for his stats to compete. But, yeah, I learned my lesson. Next year I'll have to make sure I get that second goalie. So, we'll have to see. Maybe I can make Maybe they can make a trade and get a goal scorer and a goalie in the same deal. So, you want to give me Ovechkin for three bench guys? Oh. Yeah, that would be fun. So. Oh, but yeah, enough fantasy woes, I guess. We'll have to see. But yeah, let me hunt down, since I threw the NBA schedule out there, let me hunt down the NHL schedule real quick, and I can tell you what's going on there tonight. I'm trying to remember locally if the Blackhawks played last night because they gave up a boatload of goals. So it's well, of course, maybe they are back-to-back, but let's see who's on the ice tonight. And you know the deal. Anytime I need the internet to work, it kind of slows down. But it looks like we got a lot of games here. The Blues are at the Islanders. The Hurricanes at the Rangers. The Devils at the Blue Jackets. The Panthers at the Canadiens. The Ducks at the Red Wings. The Capitals at the Predators. That's a good game. Too bad it's not on anywhere. The Kings are at the Wild. That's actually the NBA Sports Network game tonight if you're going to watch something. We got the Golden Knights at the Jets. Then we have the Lightning at the Stars. And if you have the Mickey Mouse app, you can actually watch the Penguins at the Sharks. So there you go. There's your NHL schedule for, what is it, January 15th, right? Wow, we're halfway through January already. What the heck's been going on here? So, yeah, there you go. You know, hopefully you got a game to watch or a team to watch, or maybe you got that app and you're going to check that game out. So we'll have to see. Oh. There wasn't a ton of baseball news today. I know there were some signings made official and that kind of stuff, but I guess the only thing I heard, Dan, and I don't know if you caught wind of this, but I guess apparently the Phillies are going to make an offer to Bryce Harper. Did you hear anything on this? Because I was a little surprised it didn't headline every show on the MLB network, but I didn't hear much about this. Have you? Oh no, did I kill Dan? Did Dan drop the phone? Dan dropped the phone again. Can you believe that? We lost Dan twice in one episode, so we got to wait for him to recycle. But yeah, I didn't see anything about what the offer might be or could be or, you know, anything kind of to that effect. But yeah, I guess we'll have to see, because I originally thought that Machado was going to be the Phillies' target, but maybe with the way the negotiations are going with the White Sox, they just decided to maybe go another way, or I know they did have some meetings with Machado. Maybe they didn't like what they heard or something to that, extent. I thought Machado was a little better fit with them, but either way, you know, you're getting a big time star player. So, we'll see how it goes, but yeah, I haven't heard any real extent. It would be interesting because the Phillies would probably have to move an outfielder then. So, that could be, an interest. Obviously, I would guess they would probably move Nick Williams because they seem to really like Odubel Herrera. And they just signed Andrew McCutchen, so I don't even know if they could legally trade him with the contract being so new. Maybe they could. I think it's the NBA where you have to wait so long before you can trade a guy you signed. So, I guess we'll just kind of have to wait and see what comes up or if the Phillies are going to be the team for Harper. But yeah, I haven't heard any numbers yet, just that they're expected to make an offer, and you know, I'm guessing we probably won't get to hear what that offer is, but I don't know, Dan. You got Harper landing with the Phillies after all this now?
No.
No.
Harper is going. I keep telling you every week he's going back to Washington. He's going back home.
No, but the. Well, doesn't he live in Las Vegas? Oh.
Well, baseball, you know. Vegas has gambling. God forbid we go there. It's going to be associated. Blah, blah, blah. Or is that Roger Goodell? No, wait, the football team's gone there, so.
Yeah, football. Yeah, the Raiders are moving there, so.
So, I mean. No, he's going back to Washington. And then, you know, what you should do is look up Anthony Rendon's contract term to see how long he has remaining.
Oh, didn't he sign a deal recently?
Wasn't it a couple years ago for five?
I don't know. It might have been. I'm trying to remember. And you know, my internet only goes so fast. So you gotta give me a minute to catch up here. Because you know, when we want something, it's not, you know, it's not lickety split anymore like it used to be. So. I'm getting there. One more. Okay, here we go. Anthony Rendon, where are you? Here you go. He is actually in the last year of his deal at $18.8 million.
Well, that's not too bad.
So,
2019, and then Chris Bryant is up in, what, 2020, or is it 2021?
What did we decide? Did we look at that the other day?
I think we've looked at it a million times because we're trying to figure out why the Cubs allegedly don't have the money.
Yeah, he's a free agent in 2022.
Oh.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting year for the Cubs because it's Bryant, Baez, Schwarber, Russell, and Montgomery all hit free agency in that year.
And then 21 is Grizzo, Hayward. Or is Hayward till 23? Hayward.
Let's see here.
That's a long
Hayward one. Doesn't. Yeah, 2024 technically is when he becomes a free agent. 2023 is his last year. And Rizzo has he has two option years in 20 and 21. So depending on who picks up what, he could be a free agent after this year. But I'm guessing at $14.5 million, the Cubs will pick that up. That's not a bad deal for what the going rate is baseman. So.
No, and I think, what, Lester's up after 2020?
Yeah.
I know there was like three guys.
He's got a vesting option for 2021. It doesn't say what the terms are, but there is a vesting option.
Oh, I'm sure that has to do with how many games he's able to start or whatever.
Innings or something like that. Yeah, that's where they sit. You know, I mean, just, you know, going into next year will be interesting because obviously they have Hamels and Zobrist, but then a lot of the bullpen guys pop free. Steve Cishek, Pedro Strop, Brandon Kitzler, and Brian Dunsing are also – you know, I think they need bullpen help this year. Hopefully they're going to add something, but if they don't, they're definitely going to have to next year because they ain't going to have anybody.
Carl Edwards Jr., right?
Yeah, that'll be pretty much it. It'll be Edwards and Montgomery, and if Morrow makes – Morrow has a vesting option. So if he doesn't make the option, he'd hit free agency as well. So
yeah. I wonder if – I doubt the Nationals have any bullpen to give up for Bryant, do they?
Oh, you know, it depends, you know, I guess what you're looking for. I mean, they just signed Trevor Rosenthal, so I'm guessing they're not interested in giving him up.
No.
But – Yeah, you know, well, they yeah, because they had Sean Doolittle is going to be their closer. And, I just don't know if there's enough, you know, interest. Like, they signed Trevor Rosenthal. They traded for Kyle Barraclough. So, obviously, I'm guessing they want those guys around. The rest of their bullpen is Justin Miller, Coda Glover, who I think is coming back from injury, Sammy Solis, and Matt Grace. So, yeah, there's not a lot of not a big selection there in that bullpen to make a deal for.
Yeah, but going back to your original question, I still think Chatto ends up in Philly and Harper makes it back to the Mets. You know, I've seen several, maybe not several, I've seen one big one coming from MLB.com. I don't know if it was one of their sites, you know how that goes, or if it was from somewhere else, but that whatever the Phillies offer, the Nats, you know, that Forrest and Harper are going to go back to Washington to see if they'll match.
Yeah.
You really haven't heard the Nationals doing or saying anything. So I think it's pretty much one of those, you know, and this is what I've been, you know, the Kool-Aid I've been drinking the whole time he's been off. Well, maybe not the whole time, but once I found out that Under Armour is located and headquartered in D.C. or in that area, it just, to me, it, you know, knowing that Bryce Harper has the lifetime contract, I just don't see Bryce Harper pulling a LeBron James on you, you know. And so I don't know. I think all signs point to he's going back there despite what, you know, any national talking head or anybody who is way too overly excited and or, you know, needs to make that paycheck and have a clickbait is what they call it now. I don't know if Trump coined that or someone else coined that, but, you know, a little bit of clickbait so you can read the article. But I really think Harper's going back to Washington or staying in Washington. Which way do you put it? He didn't really leave, did he?
You know, look at it one way or the other. So, you know, he's going somewhere.
Yeah. And then, you know, you and I talked about it from the start. Harper would be a great addition to that team, but I think we both agreed that the need that they really had and could be successful off of would be to sign Machado.
Yeah, you know, Machado really looks like the better fit there. I mean, you know, if they do sign Harper, they're probably going to have to deal, you know, an outfielder. You know, not like, my guess obviously would be Nick Williams because they just brought McCutcheon in. And, they like Odubel Herrera. So my guess is Nick Williams would be the guy to get dealt. And, you know, unless they just plug him into the bench and make him the fourth outfielder, I guess they could always do that. But, yeah, it seems like this, but maybe, you know, maybe they think they're out on the Machado Derby.
I mean, I don't know who the mystery teams are, but when you're competing with the White Sox.
That's tough. You know, that's tough competition there. You got the, you know, you got the White Sox in front of you and, you know.
You know, because with the Phillies, though, I think he can get the money and the chance, you know, and the higher likelihood of winning. Now, do I know if he's going for all that? I've never spoken to him personally. I don't really think – I think he cares more about the money than anything else. But, if that baseball player, you know, in him, I think you go with Philly. And, you know, like you said, I forget who the GM there is or the president was willing to throw out stupid money. Physically, biologically, you know, mentally, however you want to put it, I don't think it's wise for them to blow their load on those two in one season, though.
No, I guess it would depend on what kind of farm system you have.
Yeah.
You know,
better have the
you know,
best
stuff,
pitching
stuff
in baseball.
I, Yeah, I don't think the Phillies have a fantastic farm system. And, yeah, they have Andy McPhail is their president in the front office, and then Matt, I'm going to guess this is Klentak, is their vice president and general manager. So,
does he get two paychecks or just one?
Well, they're under contract, so I guess that's how you negotiate it. So,
yeah.
But, I did humorously see this yesterday, and I did not get a chance to ask you about it because I don't know if we ran out of time or what just kind of, happened. But I don't know if you saw this one, but the Cubs made a hire yesterday. So they hired Craig Breslow as what's described as a front office strategist. What the hell does that mean, Dan?
He's the guy that's in between Theo and Jed, who hands the lineup card over to Joe. So uses it as his bookmark for his How to Work with Millennials book that he's reading.
That's interesting.
Well, maybe
maybe
he doesn't give it to Joe himself. He gives it to the bench coach, and the bench coach gives that lineup to Joe.
So, now I can tell you that he pitched in 12 or parts of 12 major league seasons. He was 23-30 with a 3.45 ERA. He did have 8 career saves. Now, Danny spent 2 years in Cleveland, 3 years in Oakland, 3 years in Minnesota, and 5 years with who, Dan?
The Red Sox.
There you go, the Boston Red Sox. So, that was the biggest thing I found humorous about it when I saw the hire was that he had, spent the most time out of any team was with the Red Sox. But he does have a degree from Yale, so I'm going to guess he's a lot smarter than I am. So I'm hoping whatever his strategy, they are good. So,
I don't know. Smart or not, it's what you put into it. I think anyone can get a degree from an Ivy League school. But it depends on if you have the money or your dad, built a something there, and your last name is on a hall somewhere.
That would be cool. Like my big kick is like I have absolutely no idea what the job entails or any of that other stuff, but I did get a chuckle out of the fact that he pitched for the Red Sox. I was like, oh, there you go. So how many is that now, Dan?
Everybody that's pretty much been on this coaching staff at least has spent some time in Boston. What would Andre Dawson know? Ryan Sandberg, that's the funny thing, former Cub that everyone loves, and Ryan Sandberg, and what does he get? He gets to do a post-game show with that one guy, I forgot his name now, Mark something. He doesn't even... Well, I don't know if he wants to take any of the blame on coaching since he was pretty much, pitchforked out of there, out of Philly's system. So I think the national media and everybody scared the crap out of Ryan Sandberg ever wanting to get back into coaching. But, you've had a lot of Cubs in the past that I think could come into the organization, but like Sammy Sosa, they all probably need to apologize for Tom Ricketts to be friendly with them. And like we always talk about, Theo only picked up guys he used to play for the the Red Sox.
So yeah, it's been well, you know, he might. So you know, some point in time down the road that might happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I said, that was just my chuckle for the day yesterday when I saw that. I think I did post it on the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. So you know,
it does make
like,
you.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll have to keep emailing the media contacts because they don't respond to us. But it makes you do wonder, you know, the fact that that name sounded familiar, but you know, I've heard a name like that, so that's probably why. You know, being whatever strategist you said he was, but being a former pitcher, you've got to wonder with maybe some of the criticism that, well, you know, technically, so since Joe's the coach, you know, kind of like a presidency, it's always the president's fault for the regime. So it's, you know, technically, you know, under the name, it's Joe's fault for, you know, removing Kyle Hendricks every game, even though one guy's on and, you know, 3-0 Cubs and it's the top of the fifth with one out. Maybe he's kind of coming into there to do some analytics and strategize on whether or not it's a good idea to take a pitcher out in the fifth inning, which I don't think you really need the guy to do that. I think it's common sense. But, you know, that was one of the things, I forget who was talking about it. Actually, it was Uncle Bob. You know, he said the one thing and that really irritated the hell out of him watching the Cubs last season was what he didn't understand was the fact that, you know, a guy's been hot for 3, 5 days, 7 days. Well, analytics dictates that he's not supposed to do good against whatever the opposite arm thrower is coming up to the mound today. So we're going to sit him, despite the fact that he's been hot. You know, so,
yeah.
I mean, I still think the human factor plays into it, and when a guy's hot, you got to keep him in.
Well, you know, that's how the nerds affected the game, as they say. You know, it's guys who loved the game but couldn't play it and wanted to get in it, and you know they found their way in. You know, this was their way in. And, people are buying into it, even though, you know, a lot of it is plain and simple, and you can tell just by looking at it, you know, I mean, I don't know how much effect it's actually have, except to create some new stats that everybody can kind of, you know, jones about and be like, well, you know, this guy's, you know, whatever, you know, Babbitt or whatever you want to call it. So,
yeah. I'm not against having all the information at hand. You know, it does provide some good information. But at the same token, so does watching, so does the manager's eye that's actually standing there watching and knowing his players.
Yeah.
I mean, they've essentially turned the game into the fact that, you know, the manager's only job is to basically come in, sit in his office and not actually watch any of the players and see how they play or develop or know them. Sports Radio.